You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I hope you keep coming back time after time after time. Have you heard the news about Gary McKinnon? This is Open Line Live tonight, so if you want to talk about that, we can. But Gary McKinnon, of course, is the guy that hacked into all these government computers in the United States. He is a citizen of the UK, and he has been fighting extradition. The United States government wants to extradite him and put him on trial for hacking into their computers. Well, everyone thought it was a done deal, and then there is an expert in autism who diagnosed Mr. McKinnon as suffering from that syndrome. I think it's called Asperger's syndrome. The Home Secretary refused to consider that in whether or not he would step in and halt the extradition. But the attorney, the solicitor for Mr. McKinnon, filed an appeal for a judicial review of that decision. And so now there's going to be about a four-week delay as there is to be a judicial review of the Home Secretary's decision. So Mr. McKinnon may yet escape extradition. Maybe not, but at least he's got a shot. His lawyer says that this is really, truly the end of the road. If this doesn't work, there's nothing else to try. So it'll be interesting to watch that. Speaking of interesting things to watch, this has been an interesting day in the United States. It always is when we have a transfer of power. We change governments every 4 years, and or at least we have a shot at it. For sure, every 8 years. And so, you know, it's always, I think, a marvelous thing to watch the transfer of power from one government, the old one, to the new one. And to watch it happen peacefully, I think that's a wonderful thing. And it came off without a hitch, really, today. And I know there are lots of people that are euphoric about the new president. There are a lot of people who are not euphoric about the new president. We don't talk about politics here, but where politicians and their policies touch the things we talk about, we will discuss that. And there's been a big move going on to try and bring UFO disclosure to the top of the list, to the forefront, if you will, of things for the new president, President Obama, to take care of. And a lot of petitions have been signed. A lot of people have been voting in opinion polls and so forth, trying to say, hey, let's get this disclosure thing going. So who knows? Maybe it'll happen. All right, it's going to be Open Line Live, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. I've got a couple of things to bring to the table, but let's talk about what you want to talk about right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is Open Line Live. That means, of course, that we will talk about whatever is on your mind. Before I open the telephones, and I will do that momentarily, let me talk a little bit about something that is on my mind. And I think it's very appropriate today, since we had a change of government here in the United States. Big day, and I think it's quite appropriate to talk about freedom of speech. Sometimes, whenever I bring this up, people get offended, and they think, well, you know, he's scolding me. I'm not scolding anybody. I just want us to think. I want us to think about freedom of speech. You might suspect, and you would be correct, that this is spawned by the email responses to last night's show. And as I expected, they lined up on both extremes of the thing. Either you absolutely loved John Lear, or you absolutely think John Lear is nuts. And so I got emails of both types. And I got a number of emails where people said I should not have someone like John Lear on this show. And that really surprises me. I can't say surprise. I've come to expect emails like that. But I mean, how can I say it? I guess I'm confused about why any American would want to silence voices. And the reason I say that is, I guess, based on my own life and what I have done throughout my life, I've spent my life under an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And see, that Constitution has 10 amendments that we call, the first 10 we call the Bill of Rights. And they don't give us rights. They guarantee the government can't take those rights. That Bill of Rights is a listing of rights written in a way that tell the government, back off. And the very first one of them contains freedom of speech. Now, and freedom of religion. Now, it's interesting, whenever I have, let's say I have someone on who is an avowed pagan, and they present views about UFOs or ghosts or whatever, and they make some mention of their pagan background. Now, pagan could be, you know, Wiccan, it could be anything, but they make some mention of their pagan background. I get emails from people every time who tell me I should not have people like that on my show. Well, then I will have someone on, say like Dr. Michael Heiser, who is openly a Christian and an expert in ancient languages. And he talks about these ancient texts and what they say. And when he was on our show, he talked about it in relationship to what Zachariah Sitchin has said. And I got emails from the other side, from the pagans, saying I shouldn't have somebody like that on my show. No matter who I bring on, you have to understand that if you think that's the most wonderful person ever, and that's the best guest that we've ever had, you have to understand that there's a segment of the audience that will email me telling me that I should not have a person like that on my show. And so don't assume that everyone else thinks like you think. Don't assume that the rest of the world is like where your feet are. In my former career, I defended the rights and worked for the rights of people who were members of groups that hate me because of the fact and think I'm a traitor to the race, to the white race, because my wife is not white, she's brown. Now, do I think they are right? No, I don't think they are right. Do I like what they say? No, and I obviously don't agree with it. Do I think they should have the right to say it? Absolutely. We are all safer when people have freedom of speech. When you put pressure on a person, or if you put pressure on a group and hold your thumb down on them where they don't have freedom of speech, what happens is the pressure, the internal pressure, builds up, and it will explode into violence. That's one of the reasons, aside from the fact that all this hate speech legislation is unconstitutional, that's one of the reasons, just knowing humans, that it is the stupidest thing to do. It is the stupidest thing possible to take away freedom of speech through this legislation called hate speech legislation, even though I have been subjected to hate speech. Whenever you cap off freedom of speech, under whatever guise, I don't care. I don't care if you say, well, because it's hate speech. I don't care. You cap off freedom of speech, you automatically build the internal pressure because it doesn't have a way to escape. And sooner or later, that's going to explode into violence. Now, there is no such thing as freedom of speech if we say, well, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to hear that. See, freedom of speech is just fancy words that mean absolutely nothing unless we are willing to hear viewpoints that don't agree with us, viewpoints with which we don't agree. Do you imagine that I agree with everything every guest says that comes on this show? I don't. They often will say things that my own mind says, there's no freaking way that's possible. And I ask questions about it. I don't attack the guest. I ask questions about it. The reason that we bring guests on this show is not so they can say something that agrees with me. That's not the reason. That's not the purpose. Whether they agree with me or not is not even a consideration in whether they get to be a guest on this show. The reason we bring guests on this show is because I'm sick and tired of Americans being stupid. I'm sick and tired of turning on my television and watching people just have these meltdown reactions over something they heard someone say that someone else said. This whole country has been responding to crap and nonsense like that for a long time. Responding emotionally instead of rationally, responding emotionally, not even to the facts, but to the nonsense vomited out by someone else. Now, when you do that, you're letting someone else do your thinking. The only way for you to have opinions that are not nonsensical is for those opinions to be based on you having actually heard what was being said. And the only way that can happen is for you to get it straight from the horse's mouth. I ran an opinion poll not too long ago. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where I said if Einstein, the question was, if Einstein were alive today, he would be in favor of disclosure. And everyone voted on it. I voted on it. The fact is, Einstein's not alive today, and we don't know what he really would think. But we expressed opinions on it, and that's okay. But that's just one example, and it's an innocuous example, a harmless example. But when you get into the great issues of life, there are people who have these emotional responses, not just a few people either, the majority, and I would say by far the majority, have these emotional responses to someone or to something based on they heard someone else say that this person said X. Well, I don't play that game. I bring them on, and we'll hear what they've got to say. We'll hear with our own ears. We'll ask questions with our own mouths. We'll formulate those questions with our own minds. And when we go away from that experience, we will have our own opinions based on having actually heard it from the person himself or herself. Just be aware that if a person is not controversial, I don't want them on this show. If they are just, you know, bland, non-controversial, I mean, my Lord, that's like eggs with no salt. The reason they are invited to come on this show is not because I agree with them or not because they agree with me. The reason they are invited is because they are making waves in our genre, and we need to hear for ourselves what it is they're saying. I'm not scolding anybody, but I would ask you to really rethink certain things like, what does freedom of speech actually mean? It just means you get to say what you want, but everybody else has to shut up unless they agree with you? Does freedom of speech mean that? Or does it mean even the unpopular or strange or out there views can be said, and we'll listen, we'll think, we'll ask questions? I think that's what it means. Ask yourself also, before you say next time that you are an open-minded individual, if you are an open-minded individual, indeed, how could you suggest censorship? And if, by the way, I get every single week I get emails from people who tell me I shouldn't have this person, I shouldn't have had that. It doesn't matter, including when I had Edgar Mitchell on the air. You think he's not controversial? See, many of you think Edgar Mitchell, and pun intended, hung the moon. Many of you think he's just the most wonderful guy, and he is, in my opinion. But I got email from people that said I should not have somebody like him on the show, and talked about all the why he's controversial and all that. I had people that wrote to me about Dr. Michio Kaku. I had people that write to me every time Stanton Friedman is on. Every single person that comes on this show has people that don't like them for whatever reason. But if they're not controversial, they're not coming on this show. The worst shows we ever have done have been with people who were so middle of the road that there really was nothing to say. if they're not out on the edge, what is it they've got to say that we want to hear? That's my two cents. I'm going to open up the telephone line now, and we'll take your calls. I would be interested in knowing tonight what you think about Gary McKinnon. I'm interested if you have some comments about what I've just said. Feel free to call in. If you have some comments about anything whatsoever, any guests that we have had, please feel free to call, and I'll put you on the air, and we'll practice freedom of speech. All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, yeah, Kevin, I think if Weinstein was alive today, he'd probably be working for our black ops guys.
You think so?
Yeah, so we probably wouldn't even know who he was. As far as your guest go, you're stuck in a position to where, you know, you're the host. So if you get a bad guest on, you're stuck with them. You're there, for 2 hours with them. So we can turn the volume off. It's what I've done a couple of times. And so, if you don't like listening to the show, because, some people, I have no interest in. Most of the time, half the time, whenever I think I'm not going to be interested, it turns out I listen to the whole show.
Uh-huh.
But, that's what I found. It's hard for you to filter out because you don't know. And, a couple times someone's gotten political and I instantly just turn it off instantly. But I'll come back the next night because it's usually not like that. People got to understand you're not going to like every show and you're definitely not going to be interested in everything, every show. But I've learned a lot from the show, and I've learned one thing. Hearing that we know as listeners, if you listen to the Kevin Smith Show regularly, you will know more than these people coming on this show. Now, maybe not about the specific thing in which they're talking, but about the genre and everything else surrounded by this show. Because, I've heard guys that come on your show who are totally ignorant about things that we find out, through you. And, space.com and so on and so forth. And, in speeches and audio tape of this guy saying this, and they don't know anything about it because they're specialized. So, anyways, Kevin,
well, that's true.
That's pretty much all I got.
Well, I appreciate the call. How's the weather over in Northeast Louisiana?
It's actually cold for this time of year. It's been getting down to freezing every night.
Any snow or ice this year?
Another ice age.
Yeah,
we're getting a little practice, I guess.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. I don't expect that everyone who listens to this show agrees with me. But I would say that I think it's vitally important for us to be open-minded, and that means I think we ought to hear even the things we disagree with. How do you know if you really disagree with this guy unless you actually hear what he actually says? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I am well, my friend. Happy America Day to everybody. That was a beautiful inauguration today.
It was, I think, probably the most impressive one I've seen, except maybe Reagan's second one. I think Reagan's second one was probably on the same level, but this one was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I was probably too young or too indifferent to see the Ronald's inaugurations.
Well, would you believe I can remember presidents all the way back to President Eisenhower? That's how old I am. He was president when I was born, and he was still president whenever I started first grade.
Well, good for you, good for you. And that's important. That's important in our culture to remember our politicians. And I know we don't talk about politics here, but
Hey, would you like to hold on through the break?
Sure, I'd love to.
All right, you hang on. I'll be back to you right after the break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and it's Open Line Live. On the phone with me is Kevin from Canada. Kevin, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, I was going to say, I really enjoyed your show last night with Mr. Lear.
Uh-huh.
I have to keep an open mind to him, though, I'll tell you. Jeez, that guy's got some funny ideas.
Well, he says things that are quite obviously out of the norm even for our genre. And they are things that I don't know. For instance, that every single planet in our solar system has people living on it. I don't see how that could be so. But I don't know for sure that it's not so. Rivers and forests on the moon. Because I've read things that he's written and I've seen other interviews, I know he's talking about on the backside of the moon. I don't see how that could be. But it may be. I haven't been there. I don't know. And what I do know is that the photographs that we have been supplied are demonstrably doctored in many cases before we get to see them. And, there's the lady that spoke in the Disclosure Project and said that she knew for sure that these were airbrushed before they were released to the public. And so, I have to say that while he says things that even for our genre are out there on the edge, I don't know for sure one way or the other, and I'm not a believer. My position on things is I don't believe this is true or that is true. I don't believe. Either I know or I don't know, and I don't know what is exactly on the moon. I do know that photographs have been doctored. You can see that.
Yeah, so. I agree. It's just that when you get guys talking too far over the edge, it doesn't do too good for the actual truth.
Unless what he's saying is true. And then, look, there are things that we accept as truth in this genre. For instance, you've heard me say the debate over whether UFOs are real, whether they exist, that is a dead debate, long dead. It is no debate. The proof is in. They are real. But outside of our genre, there are people who would say, man, that is way over the edge. I would say that those people have their heads way in the sand. So, I don't know whether those are true or not. One of the emails that I got, it was very well written, expressed himself very well, explained to me why I should not have John Lear on the show. And because it was just way out there. And then there was a P.S., and in the P.S., the postscript, he asked that I do a show to update on Project Serpo. Okay? So Project Serpo, for some people, has a ring of truth to it, and for other people, that is way over the edge. That's a good example of what I'm talking about. this the genre with which we deal is edge information anyway. And, you know, when let's just take Michio Kaku. When Dr. Kaku was on, and he talked about infinite numbers of universes all bunched together like soap bubbles. Now, he's quite serious about that. And some people will say, well, you know, that's Dr. Michio Kaku. If he says that's the way it is, well, that must be the way it is. The guy's a genius. There are other people that will say, I think this guy is nuts. And he is verifiably a genius, you know, but it's just the nature of dealing with edge information that you're always, I don't care who you're going to have on the show, you're always going to hear something that a part of, and maybe even a significant part, of the audience will think is not only over the edge, but around the corner. It's just the nature of dealing with edge information.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And like I said, I keep an open mind. I got a kick out of John Lear last night. He's with his mundane humor, he's pretty funny.
He is. He's an interesting guy. And, you know, one of the things that I didn't say on the show, and I think most people know it, but everybody's heard of Lear Jets. Well, that's his dad is the founder of Lear Jets, the inventor of Lear Jets. And so this is, you know, this is a guy that grew up flying. This is a guy who has more awards that pilots can get than any other living pilot. And he's, you know, just because of that, doesn't mean that everything he says is accurate, but I think it certainly says, well, we ought to hear what he's going to say.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And one more comment before I go.
Mm-hmm.
The show the other night with the fellow that went to the Stargate, that was a real cooker.
Oh, yeah, with Mark Felder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. I've seen the video, and in the video, and it's when you see the video, you'll understand why they couldn't get video of what's actually happening in the Stargate. If they get any closer than about 50 feet, their cameras stop working, and it's pitch dark out there. The cameras can see, when they put it on night vision, the cameras can see maybe 20 feet. And, but you'll see that. But there was also some video taken during the daytime while Jerry Wills was sitting in the Stargate and was explaining what you do to activate the Stargate. And you actually see some phenomena take place on the video. So it's I can't say any more than that because it's being made into a possible TV series. It's the part of the pilot episode for a possible TV series. But that's edge information right there. There are people that wrote to me and said when Jerry told about going through the Stargate and then when Mark Felder told about it, both, you know, different shows months apart. I got people that wrote to me and said, oh, come on now. You know, you don't really buy this, do you? Well, it's not a question of do I buy it. It's a question of here are people who had something happen to them, and they're telling us in the best way they can and from their perspective what happened. Can I explain it? Nope. Can't explain it, but it's a very interesting phenomena. In the video that I saw, each of the people in that group, when they came down from the Stargate, were interviewed briefly on camera to say what it was that happened to them. And I think anybody that sees it is going to be wowed.
Great. Look forward to it. Absolutely. Just like your other videos that you put out. And good luck with that, Kevin. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate it. Thank you much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. It's Open Line Live, and we would love to hear from you. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. I guess it takes a little bit of practice. Maybe that's it, a little practice listening to the show to sort of get on track with what it is we're doing. See, almost all of the shows you're going to listen to anywhere have an agenda. A lot of the paranormal shows have an agenda that really, you know, it's like the host is called of God to expose the frauds, and they just go after the guest like, you know, sharks after bloody meat. That's not going to happen here. And the reason is, if I think the person is a fraud, I don't invite them on. If it's just way out information and I don't know whether it's true or not, I am going to invite them on. We're going to hear for ourselves what they have to say. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, it's Doug Kevin calling in Canada. How are you?
Outstanding, Doug. How are you?
Great, great. Very good show last night indeed, and just wanted to comment congratulations to all of you in America for your new President of the United States.
Well, thank you. I think there are loads and loads of people who are really excited about the new president, and I think there are lots of people that are not excited. But I'll tell you what excites me is we had a change of government without a war.
That was nice.
It was nice. I like that every time it happens.
One thing I found interesting in his speech today, I streamed his speech via CNN and my software into my chat room for everybody to watch today. The thing I found interesting in his speech was his conversation regarding science, how he plans on allowing science to be more in the focal center of, advancing with the new technologies available with healthcare. Now, I'm wondering if that's going to open up more doors with regards to the different forms of travel, perhaps. That would be very interesting.
Well, it might. If the government is in favor of funding the guys who are in favor of discovering, then that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Indeed. And I'm kind of hoping, too, and it's very true that the shadow government is calling the shots, and these elected officials are regarded just as essential puppeteers, or puppets, and they're the puppeteers. And they are not disclosing the real information to these puppets, or if you want to call them that. And that, unfortunately, is why we are still so dumbed down, in my opinion, anyway. It would be interesting to see that because he has such wide support, that might change things.
Yeah, what do you think, Doug? Do you think he's going to be responsive in a positive way to these calls for UFO disclosure?
I have a feeling he's only going to be able to go as far as the inner government allows.
All right.
And as I said, hopefully, because he has such wide support, perhaps he'll stop hiding behind that little veil of, just for example, with Stephen Greer. Dr. Stephen Greer had mentioned that he had officials saying to him, hurry up and get this disclosure project out there because we can't.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiding behind that fear that if they do, their careers are ruined. In actuality,
Well, if all the reports about how that came about are true, the reports say it was an executive order, and that can be repealed by the new executive. Doug, we're into a break. You want to hang on, or does that do it for you?
That does it for me. Get on someone else.
All right. Thanks for the call. Folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live, and that means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind tonight. There are a lot of opinions about everything we talk about here on the show. Maybe there is a show that we've had sometime recently that really piqued your interest, and you really would like to talk about it. Now, I got a flash message wanting to know why I didn't read flash messages last night. Actually, I did. I read flash messages, and I incorporated what they were asking into the questions. There were so many flash messages that came in last night that you would have like three or four that sort of dealt with the same idea. And so instead of reading each one of those, and I didn't want to anger any of them by picking one and leaving the others out. I just condensed it into questions that I asked of our guest last night. From New Zealand, we have this message. It says, this one is from Dave, and it says, to live in a democracy means you have the right to question anything and everything, for that is your right to freedom of speech. But it is a double-edged sword, for you must also protect the right of all others to express their views, even if you do not believe what they have to say or agree with it. That is freedom to express and state what you think without fear of censure or repercussion. Sad to say, from the outside looking in, you Americans have lost a lot of that freedom. Dave, I agree. But look, you see, the way it works is a right that you don't use is the same as a right you lose. We have the right to freedom of speech, but we've bought into this nonsense mindset that, oh, well, you can't say that. That might offend somebody. Look, the Constitution does not guarantee that you are never going to be offended. It guarantees you will be offended. Because the Constitution tells the government to mind its own business when it comes to freedom of speech. It tells the government, back off. People have a right, as Dave says here, to question anything and everything and to express their views. Now, when you buy into the idea that, we've got to do this legislation over here to get rid of hate speech, when you buy into that, you just sacrificed the right of freedom of speech on the altar of the convenience of never being offended. John Lear used a term last night. I got lots of email from people that felt offended by it. He used a term, Apollo hugger. Now, he said he himself had been an Apollo hugger up until recently, and he described what that was. You know, I believe we went to the moon. I believed that, that everything that we've been told about that was true, and that's what he's talking about, an Apollo hugger. Well, I myself am an Apollo hugger. I fit that category. I think we went. Do I know we went? No, I don't know that. Do I think we went? Yes, based on evidence that I have seen, the evidence to me appears to, the preponderance of the evidence appears to say we went. Some of you think that is total nonsense. Hey, that's cool. You think I'm wrong. That's cool. That's freedom of speech. That's freedom of thought. And you are perfectly welcome to express what you think. As I was saying earlier, it takes a little practice to get used to listening to this show because we practice freedom here. Now, one thing I don't do, do I restrict some things? Yes, I do. We don't talk about politics. We don't do religious doctrine or dogma. Okay? One other thing is I don't allow people to engage in personal attacks, either of me or the guest or of each other. So if you, you know, if you call in and you start saying, I think you're an idiot, or you say that to the guest or about another caller, you're going to get cut off. That's nonsense. But you can express your views about what anybody's saying. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Welcome to Freedom of Speech.
G'day, Kevin. How you doing?
Outstanding. First name and where are you calling from?
My name's David. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Oh, I just read your flash message. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just having a bit of a time with the internet over this end of the world. A bit slow today, so things are stopping and starting, so I'm getting half, you know, half words of bits and pieces. I can't hear things properly, so I thought I'd call in instead.
Yeah, the internet worldwide right now, for some reason, is running very slow. For instance, our video, normally we're able to output about 35 frames per second, and we're only able to output 28.73 right at the moment.
That's all right. I'll just tune in and listen to the show again a little later.
Yeah.
Hear what everybody had to say. No, just calling to say thanks, Kevin. You're doing a fantastic job. I don't really have any questions tonight. I'm just quietly listening to everybody. As far as John Lear last night, I think it's a little fringe, but he's entitled to his opinion.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I think that, you know, if we're going to form opinions about what John Lear says, we need to hear it from John Lear.
You got it. You need to read up the information. That's what I was doing last night. I'm not so sure I believe what he has to say, but I will read it and give him the right to tell me what he thinks so far.
Yep, that's the way it works, man. Hey, thanks for the call.
No problem. Thanks, Ken. See you later.
All right. All right, a call from New Zealand. All right, let's see. Okay. Now, if I was just checking flash messages. If you live outside of the United States or Canada, you can send us a flash message. If you live inside the United States or Canada, you need to give us a call. We do have a flash message here, though, that says, how about listening or how about talking about listeners' favorite UFO books? I've been listening for about a month. I'm getting up to speed on UFOs and exopolitics. Also, I'm one of those PhDs in clarinet performance, university professors. Okay, great. By the way, since you're a PhD and since you've just been listening for a while, you may not have heard me say this. I also have one of those, but it's a THD. But you know what PhD stands for, don't you? It stands for piled higher and deeper. It means that we have become an expert on the little toe of the back left foot of a cockroach. I mean, you know, it's just so focused and so narrow. But I say that in jest, but hope that doesn't offend anybody. But then if it does, it's freedom of speech. All right, give us a call if you have a favorite book, okay, a favorite UFO book, or any other topic you wish to talk about. We'll be happy to talk about it. One good example of the necessity for freedom of speech is this Gary McKinnon case. Now, there are people, look, people have different views about McKinnon and whether he should be prosecuted or whether he should not be prosecuted. And I think people should express what they think. And we've done that here on this show. But you see, freedom of speech means that you, let's say you think that McKinnon should be prosecuted. Well, you should have the right to say so and say why you think he should be prosecuted. Maybe you think McKinnon should not be. Well, you should have the right to say why you think he should not be prosecuted. And you should have the right not only to say why you think he should not be, but to explain your reasoning behind that. But it goes beyond that, you see. It goes, there are people, we were talking about going to the moon. I didn't take any offense when John Lear used the term Apollo hugger. Some of you did. I don't see anything to be offended about. If you're an Apollo hugger, you're an Apollo hugger. I am. As he defined it, you know, if you are, you are, right? I mean, that's like saying something about people that are over 50. Well, I am. I'm not offended if you mention that people that are over 50, maybe, I don't even know if this is true, but maybe they tend to have more automobile accidents. Well, if that's the fact, that's the fact. I mean, you know, so what? If that's how it is, that's how it is. Freedom of speech is just too wonderful to be put in a bottle and corked. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. If you have a comment about any show that we've done, any topic that we've covered, please, by all means, feel free to call in. We'll talk about what is on your mind. Sort of the theme of this show tonight has been... I admit it's shaped by the events of the day here in the United States of America, with the inauguration of a new president. And, you know, I think that it's a good time to highlight just how important freedom of speech is. Now, if you don't use... the rights that the Constitution doesn't guarantee, it does not give you any rights. What it does, the Constitution guarantees rights you already have merely because of the fact that you are alive. In our Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, I know I didn't quote that exactly right. I messed it up a little bit. But that's what it says. The Constitution takes that idea and then backs the government off in certain key areas and says to the government, don't mess with this. Don't, for instance, the government cannot prevent you from exercising your rights of freedom of speech. That's one of them. And that Congress will make no laws pertaining to the establishment of religion. Now, some people have taken that and run with it and said, well, then that means there's separation of church and state. Absolute nonsense. I'll pay you $1,000 if you can find separation of church and state mentioned in the Constitution. It's not there. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Outstanding, sir. What's on your mind?
I was one of the people that sent an email that was saying that he was kind of a little bit of a rude guest. And at first I had the opinion like, oh, I don't want him, you know, like on the show and stuff. But after a couple minutes of thinking about it, I said, you know, that is the cool thing about the show is anybody can come in and talk. And so it's free and so nothing's censored. And so I was totally down with the whole aspect of having anybody on the show and stuff. I just personally thought he seemed a little bit rude.
The good thing about this is that you're basing that on having heard him.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point. The point is that your opinions are based on firsthand experience.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is I probably personally, even though I wasn't one of the people that sent one of the mean emails or anything like that, but personally, when I was listening to him, I probably used a little bit too much emotion thinking rather than logic, because when I had heard personally the tree hugger term, I completely disregarded the sentence it was in, thinking he was pretty much like referring to the other people as a tree hugger. But, you know, I've seen some different guys and stuff that are nice guys that are a little bit gruff and stuff like that. And you're right, if opinions controlled everything, we wouldn't even have a show.
Well, that's true. And let me ask you this. I'm out of the closet. I've admitted to the world I'm an Apollo hugger. How about you? Are you an Apollo hugger?
I think that was the best time of America with some of our achievements, personally. I think that when you think about any civilization or government or anything doing anything big, going to the moon, the way we did it at the time with all the people standing around the TVs as we're going through this new age and stuff like that, I wasn't there, but I've seen all of the TV programs, and I think it's absolutely amazing. I love NASA.
Do you know, that's one of the events, when the Apollo 11 guys landed on the moon, and the first step was taken on the moon. That's one of those events where if you were alive at the time, you remember where you were, what you were doing. It's like when JFK was killed. You remember where you were when you heard about that.
Well, you know, I've heard everyone say they remember where they were at when JFK was killed. But when you think about it, I think almost just as many people can remember where they were probably at with that moon landing.
Yeah, I was in Dallas. I was in Pizza Hut on a date. With a beautiful young lady, and they turned on a television set in Pizza Hut for all of us to watch it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was, and the whole place went silent.
You know, I was doing a little bit of reading, and there's a lot of interesting things. I wanted to touch base on two things.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was I wanted to mention that the avian virus broke out in China. I can't remember if it was five or six people that died, and they think some chickens got smuggled into Vietnam, and they're presuming there's a girl that might have died from a possible case spreading over there. It's interesting. I mean, if you have all those chickens and stuff in blood, no matter what animal it is, it seems like, you know, stuff can break out if it's in sanitary conditions. So I almost hate the term avian virus, but I'm sure there's a lot of science to it that I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, you must be the one that sent me the email about that today. I am not too afraid of the bird flu, avian virus. I'm not too afraid of it, not because I have my head in the sand, but because the controls have been so stringent over there.
Well, that's a good.
Okay. For instance, in both Thailand and in Vietnam, when they thought they had an outbreak, they went in and slaughtered all the chickens in that area to get rid of them, you know, and burned them. And so the controls have been so stringent. And people in Southeast Asia are really scared of that breaking out, because that's one of their main foods, is, you know, the chickens.
I think the interesting thing about the avian virus is not so much the breakout, but I think that there's probably, you know, a lot of people watching to see if it mutates and loses that spike, because it's pretty much almost proven that if it mutated to lose that spike, it could become airborne. However, like you're saying, the controls on the measures on things like that are pretty good.
Yeah. Look, the bugs, the microscopic bugs that are out there that are coming toward us and we don't even know about them yet, are probably much, much more to be feared than the avian flu.
Well, that makes us feel better.
Yeah, well, but see, it's part of, for instance, we've built houses all up in most industrialized countries. We've built houses and towns right up in the middle of these forests, that old forests that have been there forever. And then we do things to prevent fires. Okay. Well, that would be normal and natural because, I mean, you've got humans living in there. You don't want them to burn up, don't want their houses to burn up. But when you do that, you also stop some of the natural purification that takes place when lightning strikes and starts a fire.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, we, it's kind of like this. You take a kid, take two kids. You let one go outside, his parents let him play outside, and he digs in the dirt and builds sandcastles and does all the things kids do. You have another kid, and his parents keep him inside all the time, and they use air filters in the house, and they, you know, everything is pristine, and he's never, never, never allowed to go out and get dirty. Which one of these kids is going to grow up to be healthier?
Well, the one that took too many precautions.
Well, the one that...
No, that's the one that's going to end up getting the virus because he doesn't have any defense against it.
That's right. And the whole earth works that way.
Yeah.
You know, the,
I had one other thing I wanted to touch on real quick.
All right.
The methane on Mars, that sure is interesting, isn't it?
It is. What do you think? You think that's biological or geological?
I'm actually kind of secretly laughing behind the scenes a little bit as I review some of the facts, because... it's pretty interesting that there's over 19,000 tons that they think that they're reading over there. And 19,000 tons, they're saying some of the possible ways that this can happen was possible oxidation.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know for a fact, upon reading a little more on oxidation, and that it requires a lot of water to produce 19,000 tons of it, because it dissipates in the air within five hours, right?
Are you talking about methane dissipates within 5 hours?
Yeah.
No, it can stay in the Martian atmosphere up to 400 years.
400 years?
Mm-hmm.
So those giant plumes, it doesn't necessarily show that there's possible, like, a lot of life, or...
Well, yeah, it could, because the plumes are coming from the surface, okay? But once it's up in the atmosphere where it was first detected... it can remain in the atmosphere for up to 400 years.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something that dissipated really fast in the air. See, I didn't know that.
Well, the ammonia does. The ammonia dissipates within six. Yeah, it's 6 hours for the ammonia. So whenever you find any ammonia in the Martian atmosphere, it's no older than 6 hours.
Well, whatever's going on over there, it seems like they're trying to put out theories for everything but the most sometimes logical possible life.
Yeah, but you know, in their defense, they really have to. They have to eliminate every possibility.
A lot of critics lately too.
Yeah.
If they were just to say something and not be able to back it up, people would start laughing.
Yeah, but now when you couple that with this, the Phoenix lander, you remember when the chief scientist of that project, I think his name was Peter Smith, said that dirt is just like the dirt in your backyard. You could probably grow asparagus in it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you couple that with the fact that they've now found these plumes of methane and dirt that you could grow asparagus in. You know, you couple all that together, and it sort of seems like, you know what? Oh, by the way, do you know where those plumes of methane were found?
They're found over some of the old places that had a lot of water activity.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know they were found in areas where there's more water vapor, more clouds in the sky than anywhere else.
Well, they say that it goes through seasonal changes, and it's mm-hmm. from a melting season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could possibly add to something to do if it's not just 100% life, but who knows how life works over there. I thought it was interesting that how old that planet seems to be when it comes to all the terraforming on it, or all the structures geologically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like a big Grand Canyon sometimes.
As a matter of fact, what is the name of it? There is a canyon on Mars that is the largest, longest, deepest canyon from any planet in our solar system. You can put the Grand Canyon in it several times.
Well, here was my last thing I guess I'll leave you with, and I learned a lot because of the combination of ammonia and methane. I guess it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
But if all those things were formed and there was that much running water, even if there was some cosmic radiation, the way life is, it sure seems like there would have been something there at one time. That's all I got to say. Thanks, Kev.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I think it's improbable that there is no life on Mars. Now, when I say that, of course, there are people who immediately, on one side of the spectrum, say, oh, he believes in little green men. Geez, I wish we could get an X-ray of the brain cells in people that say nonsense like that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, please, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin in North Carolina.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to talk back on the issue of free speech since you brought it up, but real
right.
quick.
Okay.
Charles Hall, man, my eyes glazed over. I was hoping for more of the alien stuff because I'm in the middle of reading his books. Love the show with Roy and the Two Feathers Healing. Wished I could have called in. And John Lear,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he goes out there, but to me, you got to think of him as like almost like an adventuring kid. He's into a little bit of everything. He's subject to change his mind. Just go along for the ride. Think of it like an amusement park ride.
Well, yeah, but, you know, some of the stuff that he's talked about earlier, I mean, you know, years ago, that he received so much criticism on, have been borne out.
Yes.
And
I think he does have access to accurate information, and I think sometimes he gets fresh information, and he decides it's correct, and he kind of jumps on it and professes it like that, and then later he changes his mind. So that's why I say, you know, it's you got to keep up with him if you want to follow everything he's into.
Yeah, but you know something, if you think about it, think about some of the stuff that Dick Criswell has told us on this show. Now, Dick Criswell was a member of AlphaCom, which was formed by DARPA. He had above top secret clearance and had access to inside information. And he, I forget now how many races of extraterrestrial beings he told us that he was aware of and had seen photographs of. And I think it was something like, what, 70? It was a big number. And he said there are 23 planets that we know of, not obviously not all in this solar system, but 23 planets that we know of where there is intelligent extraterrestrial living beings, where there are extraterrestrial living beings.
Oh, I agree. I think it's quite possible there's life all over the place. I was really intrigued with the young man, I think his name was Boris, in Russia,
mm-hmm.
recalled being a pilot on Mars and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Quick thing I want to say, you'll understand what I mean. The old joke, the package is in the mail. Took care of that today.
Okay.
Free speech. I think, I mean, you were a cop. I did it long enough to know there are some speech that, I mean, you know, there's libel, there's slander. There's verbal abuse. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there are certain types of speech that are even considered child abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I'm working at a public job or something, I have a requirement to listen to everyone. But if you're going to be verbally abusive to me, you know, I mean, it's an argument about who's right, is it? You may have a right to say it, but I also have the right not to listen, which was what I was going to say. Two examples that strike me on the that not everybody looks at free speech the same way and, mm-hmm. and what's fair. And it kind of depends on how open-minded you are or how narrow you are in your niche. The first one, I'm in college. I'm sitting at a cafeteria table. There's a girl I don't know real well sitting there, and I was bringing up some subject that she didn't particularly care for.
Mm-hmm.
She began to chew me out that I didn't have a right to sit here and expose her to all this, and et cetera, et cetera. I said, excuse me, I've listened to you go on and on about your subjects. You have the right to say it, just like I have the right to say it. And she said, but I don't have to listen to it. I said, exactly. You have the right to get up and go to another table. You know, I'm not forcing my views on you.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to listen to them or not. And then here, just last week, I don't know how the conversation came up. I was in a waiting room, subject with a stranger, and she said something, I don't know how we got there, but it was something about the issue of Ten Commandments being removed from public buildings.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I just don't agree with that. They're taking away my right to look at them. If I don't want to see them, or, you know, if they don't want to see them, they should look away. And I just told her bluntly, I said, well, I have a different opinion on that because, you know, I can see those being there as, you know, overwhelmingly favoring one religion over the other. And, you know, I just put it to her simply, you know, the way I was taught was, how would you feel if you went to public buildings and there was a star and crescent
mm-hmm.
on every building? You might feel just as intimidated. You know, it's, in other words, what I'm saying is I don't know that sometimes it's so much about whether you have a right to say something as to what you're saying, really, when you say those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but let me ask you a question.
It's not the words you're using, it's what you're trying to communicate behind the words.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say that you have to walk through a room. There is absolutely, it's a life and death thing. You've got to go through that room. There's no way around it. And in this room, there are 25 or 30 rattlesnakes. You've got to get through there. Would you prefer those rattlesnakes have their rattles or not?
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you on that issue. I want to hear what, you know, I might consider the wackos teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the hate mongers want to have website, that's fine. You know, but if they want to, let's say if a white supremacist wants to have a white supremacist rally, you know, in the middle of a black neighborhood or something, that's not trying to exercise free speech. That's trying to start a fight.
That's also not too smart.
Do what?
That's also not too smart.
Exactly. You know, my point there, again, is it's not what you're saying. It's what you're trying to say behind your words. Now, if you're trying to...
Yeah, but you know, here's the problem.
Different if I say, I don't like you, as opposed to, I don't like you and I'm going to convince you to leave the planet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, who are we going to set up as the arbiter of intentions? The problem is, have you ever seen the, there's a movie, I can't remember the name of the movie, but I think Tom Cruise is in it. Anyway, it's a movie about these cops that go into the future and arrest people because they arrest people now because they can see that in the future they're going to commit a crime.
Minority Report.
That's it. That's what we get into here. A crime is an action. It's not
a thought. I mean, what I'm getting at, I don't mean to interrupt, excuse me, but mm-hmm. it's like the idea of you can't yell fire in a movie theater.
Well, that's a crime.
Exactly. And yeah. That, you know, it originally had the argument of, you know, free speech or not.
Mm-hmm.
Not free speech when you intend to do harm to other people with that would.
Well, when what you say raises an alarm, that creates the possible or it creates panic, then yeah, that's not freedom of speech. When what you say simply offends somebody, that is freedom of speech, and they can get over it.
Oh, well, yeah, freedom of...
Listen, we're into a break. You want to hang on?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm the Kevin Smith, and it's Open Line Live. During the break, I checked email. I checked the flash messages. I had a flash message from someone who said, I hope, you know, I just got in. I just started tuning in, and I hope that you're not talking about, you know, because of the email that I sent you, because I wasn't trying to offend anybody. Hey, look, you don't offend me. And nobody's being scolded or anything like that. We're just sort of talking about the whole thing of freedom of speech. After the show tonight, within an hour or so after the show, this show will be up on the website. Just click on Watch Latest Show and catch the whole thing. You'll see. All right. This is Kevin in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I was trying to remember North Carolina, yeah. I get my Carolinas crossed up sometimes.
Well, there were just so many Kevins that were calling in when I first started calling in. I had to come up with some way to distinguish myself.
Yeah. All I'm saying about with freedom of speech, I think we're overly sensitive. And I think the American public just needs to grow up and get over it.
I mean, there's so many issues I could bring up, like so many folks that get upset about Confederate flags being flown in official capacities.
Mm-hmm.
Where other people will tell you it has nothing to do with slavery. It has to do with pride in their history. And they say, oh, that's baloney. Well, in fact, in reality, what I was taught in history, a state-approved course that I had to take in high school, is that the War of the States was more about states' rights and, you know, those issues than it had anything to do with slavery. Slavery was almost like a secondary issue. When the federal troops came through Arkansas, the freed slaves followed them, and they were like, don't follow us. We didn't come to free you. You know, that kind of thing. And people have taken it to a personal issue. Now, you know, if I had my email up, I'll probably get emails after the show for saying what I just said. But here's the point. I'm stating an opinion, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not intending to offend any of these people. In other words, where I draw the line is I can say, Kevin Smith, I don't particularly think you're a bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
I got a right to that opinion.
Yeah.
But if I go, Kevin Smith, you are a big dummy, I'm directing it directly at you with offense. Disrespectful. That's what I don't think is it should be allowed.
Well, on air, I don't allow personal attacks like that. But I that's simply to keep chaos down on the telephone lines. Out in civil society, when we're talking about should there be laws against it, no. If you think I'm a dummy and you want to say I'm a dummy, say so. And look, people just need to grow up. And they say, well, you know, so-and-so said something that offended me. So what? So what? You know, I mean, this is a real world. And if the worst thing that ever happens is somebody says something that offends you, then you've had a great life. You know, it's just people are just way too sensitive. And, you know, there's no guarantee in life that you're not going to be offended.
And I agree with that to the point that, you know, if you just want to talk about me, that's fine. But if, let's say, you were my employer at my job,
mm-hmm.
and you were purposely going around telling untruths about me or, you know, one-sided truths, I'll mm-hmm. call them, to all the other employees with the purpose of ostracizing me, I mean, that has a name. It's
called bullying. You know,
well, it's called slander.
Verbal abuse.
It's called slander. And slander is illegal. But stating an opinion plus there are laws that say that an employer cannot allow things that create a hostile work environment.
Yeah. But bottom line, I would say I'm free to stand up and say that I happen to believe in UFOs and aliens and life on other worlds. And my in-laws are perfectly free to state their belief that I'm probably certifiably insane. So,
well, that's it. That's it. And, just think of all the people who have absolutely no idea that the federal government has officially admitted that UFOs are real. And they think it's still a debate. Think of all the millions of people. And I include in this the ostrich media with their heads in the sand or maybe somewhere else who are not aware that the federal government has officially stated that UFOs are real. And they did so with Project Blue Book. Project Blue Book officially states there were some 700-plus cases where they could not explain them. And what is that? That's an admission that they are unidentified flying objects. That's an official statement by the federal government.
Unless, of course, that they know what they are, and to them they're identified. So.
Yeah. Well, and that may be the case, but their statement was, we don't know. And these were the cases with the most data and the most reliable witnesses, military pilots, airline pilots, people like that. And so the cases with the best, most reliable data, they could not explain it away. They said so. That's an admission that they are real. Case closed. UFOs do exist.
Exactly. Hey, I got one more thing to say, Kevin, and I'll let you get on to the next caller, and this is a compliment to you.
Okay.
It's going on what one of the other callers said about how the listeners get educated and we often know more than the guests do on the whole general issues, not mm-hmm. just their specific topic. And I will have to say, a certain other late-night radio show I used to listen to, that would frustrate me to no end that on any given show, the host seemed to be ignorant about something that was talked about for hours on a previous show, whether it was a few nights ago or a few years ago. It's almost like they start with fresh brains every night. Kevin is up on what's going on, and it's a continuing progressive learning process with your show, and that's what I like about being around here.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Kevin.
Have a good night, Kevin.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, it's... Like I said, maybe it takes a little bit of practice to listen to this show before you sort of get on track with what it is we're up to. I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to prove to you that anything is true or that it's right or that it's wrong or that it's untrue. Or I don't have an axe to grind. What we do on this show is we bring guests on who have their information, their topic. They are making waves within our genre. Maybe they've published a book, or maybe they've produced a DVD, or they're out speaking at conferences, or whatever. But they're making waves within our genre. I think we need to hear from them. I think we need to hear from them and be able to ask questions of them before we form opinions. And so that's what we do. I had one caller one night who was very upset with me and upset because I didn't open up the phone lines during the first hour. I never do when I have a guest. Never. During that first hour, that belongs to me and the guest so that we can get as much of that guest's information out to you as possible. And I said, well, yeah, but I never do. In response to the caller, I said, yeah, I never do that. The caller said, "Yeah, but this is not a normal guest." And I said, "None of my guests are normal." If they were normal, if they were just middle-of-the-road mundane, they would not be making waves and therefore would not be interesting to have on the show. Each and every guest is controversial, but you need to realize you are controversial. There are people that, this may shake up your world, but there are people who do not have the same high opinion of you that you do. And you have no idea why. I mean, why wouldn't they like me? Because I've never done anything to them. But it can be something as simple as you said something totally, completely innocent. You didn't mean anything by it. You had no intention of offending anybody. But because people are wearing their emotions on their sleeves, looking for reasons to be offended, they got offended. And they just don't like you. You are controversial. All of us are, to one degree or another. Someone who's making waves is obviously going to be controversial. You don't make waves without making some people angry. And so, when whoever we have on as a guest, there are going to be people that think that person is absolutely the cat's meow, the bee's knees. There are going to be other people that absolutely hate that person and want to do whatever they can to drag that person down. It's just the nature of being the weird things we humans are. I've said this many times, and I will say it again. The weirdest thing on this planet is us. Really, stop and think about that. The absolute weirdest thing on planet Earth is you and me and all the rest of us. You don't see the animal kingdom living anywhere near like the way we live and treating each other the way we treat each other. It doesn't happen. We are strange. We are weird. We are complicated. And I think the sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we can sort of get some of that sorted out and maybe, perhaps, just maybe, solve some of that. And hopefully we will. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. And it is open line live. We are actually talking about whatever you wish to talk about tonight, as long as it's not politics. And we will entertain your thoughts, your ideas. If you don't like the topics that I'm discussing or that someone else is discussing, just call in and change the topic. It's like talk show jukebox. You just press the magic numbers on your phone, call in, and change the topic. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, one of the big, big controversies that really started in 2008, in February of 2008, has to do with an alleged meeting, and I changed and started calling it a reported meeting. It was reported to have happened at the UN building in New York, February the 12th, 2008. And this meeting is still embroiled in controversy. Did it happen or not? We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a few minutes left. We're on final approach here this evening, so we got a few minutes left. If you wish to call in, we'd love to hear from you. I got a flash message from Tim in the Netherlands. It says, I was wondering if there was any update on Colonel X, in particular with getting a representative out there to witness the test flights. No updates. I've heard nothing from Colonel X since we did the show. If Colonel X has sent any email to me, it hasn't gotten to me. If Colonel X has phoned me, no voice messages have been forwarded to me. So, no, there's no update. The update is that there's no further information. So that's the update. This meeting that took place at the United Nations, February the 12th, or it's alleged to have taken place at the United Nations, February the 12th, 2008, has some really out there information. Allegedly, this information is that the meeting took place. It was a briefing. It was not an official UN meeting, but it took place there at the building. And it was a briefing where the United States people appointed to do this briefed representatives of other nations on UFO and extraterrestrial reality. The outcome of the meeting was that we need to begin, we, the UN, the nations of the UN, need to begin to acclimate the world's population to the idea that extraterrestrial intelligent beings do exist, have visited Earth, have made contact, and the reason is that these extraterrestrials allegedly told these United States guys that are briefing the guys at the UN, the extraterrestrials have allegedly told them that they are not going to continue to be held at arm's length and the world be told that they don't exist or that it's not real. So they are, according to this information, going to make a completely unambiguous showing of themselves in the near future. Near future meaning within the next few years. And so the question then is, did this meeting actually take place? And is this the accurate information about the meeting? Now, shortly after that meeting took place, assuming that it took place, shortly after that is when the Vatican chief astronomer of the Vatican Observatory came out with the statement that, you know, it's okay for Christians to believe in extraterrestrials. There's nothing anti-Christian. There is nothing against the church. It's okay. So, you know, that's... is it a coincidence that happened? I don't know. I mean, the timing of it seems odd, doesn't it? You have this reported meeting, and then almost immediately after that, you have the Vatican Observatory, chief astronomer of the observatory, say, it's okay, there's nothing against the church, there's nothing against Christianity, for Christians to believe that extraterrestrial intelligent life exists. So there are little indications like that. There have been a couple of other things, but little indications like that, that maybe that is for real. Maybe that meeting took place. But it's highly controversial. Now, there are people who have checked on the credentials of the source of that story. And as a matter of fact, I think everyone, well, everyone I know of that checked on it has been on my show. You have the Pickering brothers who broke the story. They've checked on it, and they say his credentials are absolutely real. The question is, if the credentials are absolutely real, then why has there been such controversy about whether the meeting took place? I think that one of the people that checked on it is Dr. Bruce McAbee. Now, Dr. Bruce McAbee has been on this show. The Pickering brothers have been on the show. Dr. Bruce McAbee has been on this show. He has well-known, impeccable credentials, and he says that he's checked the credentials of Source A, and he's the real thing. Source A is the person who did the briefing at the UN, according to the story. And Dr. McAbee has checked his credentials, and he says this guy's the real deal. Robert Morningstar has checked the credentials of this source. Now, all of these people know who this source is, and they have checked his credentials, and they say that this guy is the real deal. His credentials are impeccable, and he is who he says he is. So relying upon that, I would say that the preponderance of the evidence seems to me that this meeting did take place. And that this briefing did take place, okay? This UFO briefing. I would say that there's very little doubt about that, actually, at this point. So someone else out there might say, Smith, that's nuts. You and everybody that believes that is around the corner. Everybody that believes that... you're way out there on the edge. In fact, you've gone over the edge. Well, I don't believe. I think, based on the preponderance of the evidence, I think everything points to it being true. Is that subject to change? Yes, that's subject to change. New information can come along, and when new information comes along, it has to be evaluated. And when you evaluate the new information, you've got to ask yourself if the evaluation of this new information negates anything that you had thought previously. And so, you know, what we understand to be true today may have a completely different look to it tomorrow if there's new information. There's nothing wrong with that. People talk about, well, that's flip-flop. No, that's being a good investigator. That's being scientific. That's saying, well, based on what we know, here's what the picture looks like. But then a new piece of the puzzle comes along, and you say, well, now based on that, when we put that into the puzzle, here's what the picture looks like. So that's just a matter of being a good investigator. That's a matter of being scientific in our approach to this. And look, anyone who refuses to take a look at new evidence as it comes along is being foolish. And you know, but there are people that even, you know, we take a look at the evidence as it is right now and say, here's what the picture looks like. There are people who would say, that's nuts. I say, good for you. You got an opinion, and you spoke up, and speaking up is so absolutely important. It's called freedom. You have the freedom to be back here tomorrow night. I hope you will be. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.